I'm going to preach about the prodigal son today, Luke chapter number 15. Luke 15, and then like I said, we'll be in and out of the book of Proverbs, so if you've got it marked, it'll be helpful to you because we're going to be there several times through the book of Proverbs. But we're going to look at 5 points here in this story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter number 15. When you read the first part of these parables that the Lord Jesus is giving here, he's talking about the lost sheep. He's talking about the lost silver. He's talking about now the third part of this is that of the lost son. And so you can relate this in two different ways. This is a parable that can be related in two different ways here in Luke chapter 15. You can look at it as a lost person coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It can also be in reference to somebody that is saved but has gotten out of the will of God. Somebody that's gotten out of God's will and they're living their own life and they're finally making amends and getting right with God, fully and thoroughly right with God. And so Luke chapter 15 this morning, we're going to skip down to verse number 11 for sake of time. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Let me take a sip of water. All right. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would faint to have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. That's a key part of this scripture. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. Could you imagine somebody being angry at somebody for getting right with God? There are people like that. There are people that get mad because other people. Listen, I don't believe any saved person should ever get mad at somebody for getting right with God, for somebody else getting right with God, because you never know, you could be the one. That's why the book of Galatians, I think it is, Paul told you, book of Galatians, Paul says not to devour one another. Because he said, lest you fall into a fault. Hey, it's very easy for all of us. That's why I do preach some harsh things and some things from the Bible, but I love you. I'm doing it for your good, not to be mean. But anybody that would cut somebody down while they're trying to get right with God, here the brother gets mad. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Father, I pray for your help this morning as we preach on this prodigal son. Father, help us to encourage people, Lord, to stay with it. But Lord, if they do get out of sorts or get out away from God, that there is a way that people can make it back and come back and humble themselves, Lord, before you, not before me, but before you, and get their hearts right. Lord, may we see others, Lord, as what we really are, as what they really are. God, we're all sinners. Lord, and those of us that are saved, we're just sinners saved by grace. And those that are lost, they're just sinners that need to be saved. God, help us to remember that, Father. Help us this morning now, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. He says here, this is the termed the prodigal son. The word prodigal means given to extravagant expenditures, expending money or other things without necessity. So it's not just money. When we think about it now as prodigal, you know, like I said, if somebody asked me, I would have thought or said, oh, well, it means to come back, or something lost that's come back. But that's not what it means. It means to give into extravagant expenditures. Expending money or other things without necessity could be your strength. You know how us young men are when we were young? You know, you had to go in there and you chopping wood, and you had to pick up the biggest piece and impress your family. You pull your back out. You're hurting for 3 days. You know what it's like. Your health. We've talked about this, and not picking on anyway, Brother Mike, but you know, Brother Mike's diabetic, and so it's one of the easiest things he'd reference to. He could be prodigal in that he do away with his health if he would not take care of it, like eating sugar uncontrollably. But any of us can. With that, as far as food, if Brother Joe here, if all he ever ate was meat and never ate any vegetables, he's given to that kind of a prodigal thing. He's just eating that way, and extravagant expenditures, expending money, other things, his health. He's not doing his health correctly. So it could be your strength, your health, your life or blood, as well as money. Any of those things could actually make you a prodigal, could make that term to expend that in that way, to be that way, to be like this prodigal son. Now, I'm not saying there's nothing necessarily wrong. I believe that young men ought to use their strength. When you look in the Bible gives many examples of young men, when young men doing the work. I think it's the in the book of Acts, we know when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit about selling the land, they fell down dead. The Bible makes it clear that it was the young men that picked the bodies up and carried them out and buried them. Y'all know that because I don't touch dead things. Has any of y'all ever in here picked up a dead body? Has anybody here actually picked up a dead body? Helped pick up a dead body? I figured Brother Joe probably had you. You didn't when you was in the military anyway. Did you see any kind of action? You didn't, right? I've never touched one that I know of that I can remember. I'm just not touching them. But it's awkward, ain't it, brother? I know I've seen people talk about it. You know, we think it's funny, you know, when the kids lays on the ground and one grabs their arms and one grabs their legs and you try to pick them up and carry them. A dead body is a whole lot worse. And so, you know, that's why the Bible makes it clear when somebody died, young men picked them up and carried their bodies up, because carrying something like that, it's awkward, it's heavy. And so the Bible talks about that the glory of the young men is their strength. The glory of the old men is their gray hair. See, the Bible says that's the glory. That's the glory right here, man.
There's nothing wrong with that. But to do it to the purpose of hurting yourself, to the doing it to the purpose of trying to just prove a point, that way of doing your strength and your health would be to make yourself a prodigal. And so that's what it turned when he says the prodigal son. Some Bibles in here, anybody, how many, is anybody's Bible in here? I know one of them I looked at have the term like over this parable as the prodigal son. Does any of y'all's have it? Alice does. None of y'all's others. Some Bibles that'll have that underneath, over top of the parables, different sections. It'll divide them out. It'll say the parable of the prodigal son. I've got a Bible that says that. But that's what this is about right here. It's about the prodigal son. It's about a son that went out and spent everything, half of everything that this man had earned, half of everything this man had made a living doing. this young man did that. And so I'm going to preach this morning from the point of view of a saved person that's trying to get right with God. Okay? It can be from the point of view as a lost person, and you can look at it both ways as we're going, and I may do it, but I'm going to look at it towards a saved person. If you're saved this morning, and I hope that you're not, and I don't feel like anybody is, but if you've let sin in your life, if you let things in your life, there is a way to get back right with God, and you should want to. So, but I'm going to look at some things that this prodigal son expressed or made known. Number one here, in verse number one, he had pride. Or in verse number 12, I'm sorry. In verse number 12, he had pride. He said, the younger said unto them, unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Can you imagine that? That you're still alive and your son says, give me what's going to be mine anyway. Give me what's going to be mine anyway. You know, it's one thing if Brother Mike calls his son up and says, all right, you know, I'm going to give you your car before I die so I can see you driving around and be happy with it. It's one thing for a father to do that or a mother to do that to her children's siblings, to her children. But it's another thing that kids just think that something's owed to them. We talked about this. I told my parents, I don't know about my brothers, but I told my parents, I don't care if you squander everything that you've got. I don't care. It's you've earned it. You made it. My parents didn't really get anything from their parents when they died. So if they want to squander, I said, I told them, I hope that you'll leave us enough to bury us. That's all I care. But even if you don't, we'll find a way to bury you because I'm not cremating you. There's nothing that my parents have earned or made that is owed to me. I ain't got much in this life, but what I've got is what the Lord's given me and blessed me with. It's mine and hers. It ain't yours. If I so happen to leave you something when I leave this world, then praise God. But if not, I hope I leave you enough with at least to bury us so that you don't have to go into debt putting us in the ground. But this son was so full of pride, he said, he didn't care. Could you imagine? He said, I don't care that you're alive anymore, Father, that I still got you here. Rather than enjoying it after his father's dead and remembering his father, think about all the time that this prodigal loses with his son, with his father. There's people in here this morning. How old were you, brother, when your dad died? You was 55. He was 55 when you were born.
He died in 1970.
I can't do that kind of math this morning. Oh. How old were you? 25 years old. My wife was 18 when her dad died. Is your dad, mom, dad?
My dad passed away.
Your dad passed away. How long has he been?
He's been 15 years.
Just 15 years. Your dad's not been that. How long's your dad?
5 years.
You still got yours? So the youngest one in here so far, 18 years old. If somebody offered you a chance for another year with your daddy or $1 million, what would you take?
My daddy.
18 years old to lose your dad. Her sister's lost their dad. Her next youngest sister, Melissa, was 7 years younger, 11 years old when their dad died. The other one was 10 years old when their dad died.
There's no amount of money that can replace a child or a parent in that sense, especially losing. We all know, you know, we know that they're going to die. I know that I've not got forever with my parents. But I tell my brothers, I tell people all the time, I am thankful. I'm 39 years old. My parents have been married for 44 years. They're still together. They're still both alive. I don't know why. It's by the grace of God, obviously. But I am so thankful because I could easily be in that predicament right there. Brother Mike didn't ask to be born to a dad that's 55 years old and not be able to spend much time with him and play with him and things like that. But this young boy right here, he's so prideful. His dad's still alive. He says, Father, just go ahead and give me what it is that's owed me. That's pride. Go to Proverbs chapter number 16, verse 18 real quick. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Bible tells us very plainly. If I can get to it. Proverbs 16, 18 says, pride goeth before destruction. Proverbs 16, 18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Ain't that exactly what happens right here to this prodigal son? His pride, hey, your pride will get the best of you. The pride, hey, that's what happened to Lucifer. His pride lifted him up before God. He was a created being just like you and I are. And yet somehow he thought, the Bible says, that he was going to exalt his throne above the throne of God. He was going to somehow overthrow God. And was going to take control. And hey, your pride will knock you down if you're not careful. Pride goeth before a fall. Pride is a dangerous thing. I understand that. Now listen. I am thankful for my country, and I'm proud that I am an American. But at the same time, I'm not proud at the way this country is going. This country is in a mess. I was reading a thing this week about marriage and divorce. It's actually an older pamphlet that's still being printed by, I think Curtis Hudson, I think is the one I read. Now I have to look. Anyway, this pamphlet was probably written in the 80s. I mean, that's how old this pamphlet is. In the early 1900s, in the 1920s, one out of 10 marriages ended in divorce. One out of 10 marriages ended in divorce in the 1920s. By the 1960s, I think it was, don't quote me on it, 1960s, 1970s, it was already down to one in three marriages, I think. By the 1970s, one out of every two marriages basically is falling to divorce. Anybody that tells you that this country is going in the right direction is lying to you. You say, what's caused that? What caused that destruction? I know what happened was, is we have destroyed what the family means. Now listen, I understand that things do happen. I understand that dad's passed away, mom's passed away, things like that. But we have given in to the point now that what we've done is changed the language now that anything can be a family. A family, by defining the Bible, is a mom and a dad that have children. That is a family. Well, what about single mom with kids? Aren't they a family? You see how they've done? And I understand what they're trying to do, but that's what they did in the last 20 or 30 years now. They've changed the definition now, where because single moms and single dads are raising family, that now we're saying, oh, two men can be a family. No, you cannot. Two men are not a family. I refuse to call two men married. They're not married. The only way, only people that can get married is a man and a woman. That's it. Two men can't get married. Two women can't get married. It is against God and against what this Bible says. What has happened in our country in the last 100 years, we took the Bible out of school, we took prayer out of school, we took biblical principles out of school, we taught that they come from animals, and we teach them that they're evolved out of monkeys and everything else, and then they wonder why they act like a bunch of animals. We've done everything in this country. We throw more money at our education than any other country in the world that I know of, and yet our school systems are failing. Why is that? Because God has taken His hand off of our country because we're more prideful in our country in the fact that we've got the greatest government system in the world. The only reason that we had the greatest government system in this world was because it was built upon Christian principles. They said it, the founders said it. We have a representative republic, if we can keep it. And even the founding fathers said the only way that this system can sustain itself is through Christian principles. Because here we are now, we're in 2022, debating on allowing drugs to be legalized. We've got states that have or wanting to legalize prostitution. We've got states so corrupt now that they are trying to not only allow abortion, but they're trying to allow abortion after the baby is born. That is not a system. Why? It's pride. Pride goeth before a fall. According to God's word, our country is on the verge. We're decaying. We're rotten within. If you're not right with God, you better be, because I'm telling you what, if you let your pride get the best of you, because maybe something stepped on your toes or something's hit you, well, preacher, I don't agree with you on this. Well, that's why I've always said, if there's something you don't agree with, let's talk it out. Let's pray about it. But if you can't take the time to talk about it or pray about it, then it's going to be issues. The Bible says pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. That's what this prodigal had. This prodigal had some issues with his pride. Father, give me the goods that falleth to me. That's pride. It belongs to me anyway. It's not yours, Dad. The good part is I don't think I have anything the kids want anyway. They don't want my house. Brie probably wants my truck. That's about the only thing she'd take. I'd probably sell it just because. If I knew I was dying, I'd just sell it just because. Maybe y'all didn't. Just sell them cars, brother. That way you'll see how much your son really loves you. If he wants you or wants the cars. Pride goeth before destruction. Hey, that's what happens. Pride got into Lucifer's life. And listen, if you're not careful, he'll use you as an instrument against this church. He'll help you get pride in your life and let you buck up and get out of sorts with the preacher to help get out of sorts with his word. I preach right from this Bible. I'm preaching right what this Bible says. If you have a problem with what the Bible says, take it up with the one that wrote the Bible. Pride. Number two, it says, now and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Number two, he was profuse. Profuse means liberal to excess, like a prodigal, to squander. Ain't that exactly what he did? Why? I tell you what, preacher, rather than giving the truth to my tithe, I'm going to go buy some lottery tickets. You know what, preacher, I'd rather than giving my money to missions, I'm just going to go do this with it. You're not hurting me. You're hurting yourself. You're robbing yourself of a blessing. Refuse these people that go out here, these people that are, we've talked about this before, these people let the average below poverty level household spends 11% of their income. 11% of their income on lottery tickets. I know that things are tight. We've been here for 3 years. And when we got here, we could spend $600 buying groceries up at Walmart. Now, that's not including eating out, but we spent $600 of groceries at Walmart a month. for our entire family. We can make that work. We're at almost $900 now, 3 years later. Our gas bill, I know what it's like to be tight. Hey, we ain't stopped giving them missions. We ain't stopped tithing. We had money, was tight. I had to go out and get another job, mainly because I want to fix my house up because I'm tired of looking like an eyesore myself. I go home today and wham, we walked out this morning. Our fence, the front's broke apart pretty good now. I told her, I said, we come home, the fence may be down. I don't know. But that's okay. It didn't stop me from going to church this morning. I just trust the Lord with it. Lord, if it's still standing, it's still standing. I know the Lord's given me plenty of warnings. I got to get out there this week and just put something up to try to temporary it. But we're hoping in the next month or so to be able to start on the fence and get some of that fixed. But I'm not giving up. I am not going to rob God by taking my tithes and putting them toward that house. I'm not going to rob God in the blessing that I'm getting through missions by taking my missions and put it towards that house. I'm not going to do it. If you do something like that, it's going to be God. I'm just not doing that. He was profuse. He said, you know what? He was liberal to excess. That's what it means. Another word, profuse. Profuse. P-R-O-F-U-S-E. Profuse. It means another word for prodigal. The definition of prodigal was in there. It means to just do it out. Hey, there's nothing wrong with you when you got money to buy everybody a slushy every once in a while. But if that's all you ever do with your money, you're using it unwisely. You're going to grow up one day. And you're going to be 39 years old, and you're going to realize money is a lot tighter than what it is when you're 15. And you're going to say, I wish I'd listen to mom and daddy and put more of that money in the bank. Is there an adult here that doesn't wish, is there any of you adults that doesn't wish when you first started your first job that you didn't put more money in the savings account? Is there anybody that wishes that they had spent more of their money? Not me. I'm looking at 39 years old going, I wish that my mom and dad would have been stricter with me with my finances and put some money in the bank. The only thing when I was young that I ever saved for was for my first truck. Saved $800 for my first truck. That was the most money I'd ever saved. Except for when I had a retirement fund through Southern Electric. That's it. That's the most money I'd ever saved when I was young. $800. We're not doing it to be mean. We're doing it to try to help y'all. Don't you wish the first when you started your first marriages, or even now when you started your second one, that you'd have had $20,000 in the bank when you started? I'm not talking about with your retirement. I'm talking about $20,000 in the bank when you started your marriage to spend on a house, to spend on furniture, or whatever it is you wanted to do. It'd make a change in your marriage. This man was profuse. He just liked to squander what he had. Go to Proverbs 22, verse 7. Patrick. Proverbs 22, verse 7. Proverbs 22, verse 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Hey, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Your mother and I, we're not. I don't like living like this. Maybe you like having a mortgage. Did y'all have a mortgage? Did y'all's house paid for? Your house is paid for, right? Okay. I figured it was.
Mine's not, but his is.
Yours, huh? Yours, oh, the other one. Your daughter lives in. It says one's. Yours paid for, by Joe? Wasn't it great when you made that last payment? Mm-hmm. Was it great when you made that last payment? I can't even imagine, man. He says the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Hey, we are servant. We've got a loan from the truck and a loan for our house. I am servant to Landmark Bank right here and to First National Bank of Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania. I am servant to those two banks right now because I owe both of them loans. This is one of the things that bugs me about my generation. They have no commitment. They have no commitment from the time that I was in my 20s to being now in my 30s and going to my 40s. They have no commitment. There's a lot of people, maybe I've seen some even in y'all's age, but that seems like, I don't know, maybe because I am this age I see it, but I've seen a lot of people my age that go out to the bank, they'll get a loan for a vehicle, they'll drive it for 6 months, and then let it get repoed. They just don't care. There's no commitment in them. That's dishonest. As a Christian, we shouldn't do those things. If you got something that you got, listen, I was taught if I got a car loan and I lost my job and I couldn't get it, I couldn't pay it, that I should go take that car, park it in the bank parking lot, take the keys in there until they repo and say, here it is, I can't pay it, but I'll do whatever I've got to when the time comes to get it worked out right. That's what I was told as a Christian. As Christians, we ought to be like that. I look forward to the day. I'm counting them down, man. We, as of this month, after this month, we'll owe less than $35,000 between our house and my truck. Less than around $35,000 is what we'll owe. By next month, we'll owe less than $35,000 for sure by the end of, by next month on my truck and the house. I'm counting it down. I'm counting it down. As soon as I get done with these repairs on the house, everything extra I make is going to start going toward the truck or the house to get them paid off. Because I want off of me. Because, yes, I feel like I am servant to the person I borrowed money from. Because that's why I don't like taking vacations. That's why I don't like taking much time off. Because I owe somebody some money and I feel responsible. This young man says, you know what? I don't have to work in life. We're seeing a lot of that in our day and time, you know. Bunch of spoiled brats. Their parents were rich. There was something came out a year or so ago that Bill Gates was only going to give each one of his children like $10 million and the rest of it he's giving away. Oh man, poor them poor babies, only getting $10 million. Oh man, I don't know about you, brother, that'd be a struggle to survive on $10 million, right? But that's where we're at in our generation. We've got a bunch of kids that were raised in money, and now they're being raised in money, and they go out and act like a bunch of wicked heathens because they never had to actually work a job in their life. We got people in the government that have never worked a public job in their entire life trying to tell the rest of us how we're supposed to work and spend our money properly. That's where we're at. I could preach a message about that. The Bible talks about that. Y'all know that? The Bible talks about the rulers, the Gentiles. The ones that rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. Ain't that the truth? That you peons live like this. And we're going to live like this. That's the way they act. I'm just serving the Lord. And I was thinking about this week. I may slip up. I try to watch my language, especially with, like I said, with certain things. I don't call two men husbands. They're not. A husband is a man married to a woman. A wife is a woman married to a man. And I know that sometimes I'll probably continue to refer to that as my home. This is just my house. The Lord reminded me of that this week when I was kind of a little bit hurt, discouraged with some things. I was hurt and discouraged a little bit this week. And that was one of the things the Lord reminded me. That's not my home. At 319 West 10th Street. My home's in heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. Hey, he's already got your house prepared up there. This is just our temporary dwelling. The Bible says we're just pilgrims passing through. This is not our home. I'm not saying to neglect your home or let your home run down, but I'm just saying, hey, don't be so consumed with having. So many people are so consumed with what the Joneses are doing or what their neighbors think. Now, I'm not trying to mess up the neighborhood by having my garden out in the front yard or having my fence held together by ratchet straps. I don't want it to look like that. I want to get my fence fixed. But I'm not going to stress about it so much. God reminded me of that this week. I'm not going to stress about it so much that it consumes me that I need to get that fence fixed. I want to get it fixed. And I'm going to try to get it fixed this year. But I'm not going to be so consumed with it that I can't sleep.
I'm not going to be so consumed with it that I get prideful about it when I do get it fixed. I'm just going to thank the Lord when it does. Profuse. Man, he was just living that riotous living. He just spending how he wanted to. Didn't care. He was liberal to excess. There is a point. Hey, ain't that what our country's going through right now? We're liberal to it. Used to be liberal men. And the Bible says that we're to be liberal. But not in the sense of our government. The government has no business being. We have no business as a government supporting all these other countries when our own country's in shambles. When our own country needs roads fixed. Where was that at recently? That a road, bridge collapsed. That they had just talked about the bridge was in such bad shape and it did collapse in the state. This happened about a month ago. I can't remember where it was now. They was just talking about how bad their roads were, that they needed to do some repairs, and one of their bridges fell in. Sometime this year. I'm 90% sure. Time flies by so much, it may have been last year now. But we're too busy trying to keep up this one. You got states now battling each other. You got New York trying to do billboards down in Florida because Florida's trying to protect little kids and New York wants to ruin. I mean, you know, what in the world? Where are we at? If the bill did not affect you, if you really aren't indoctrinating kids, then the bill shouldn't affect you. If you weren't trying to groom kids, why are you getting so worked up about it? It shows that they really are. You have no business teaching kids as young as Maggie and Elena's age anything to do with that mess. I can't even come in and talk about my weekend. Here's the thing. If the bill's written like it is, that means even heterosexual couples, families, can't go in and talk about what the... That is ridiculous. But they know what they're doing. That's why you ought to protect your kids and your grandkids. Oh my God, I got to move on. Number three now. He's gone through the pride. He said, give me. He's profuse. He's outspending it needlessly. Number three, he's come to poverty. He went, verse 14, he went and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land and he began to be in want. That's why it's important to have something's laid up. I'm not saying that we're trying to... have great riches in this world, but you should try to be prepared in case something does come. They keep talking about it. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. In our time while we're here, maybe the Lord will call us out of here. But they keep talking about it. Even the regular news now has actually started talking about a global famine that's coming because of the last 2 years, what's happened the last 2 years. I'm not saying go out. I'm not going to tell you go out and buy 6 months worth of food and store up and have none of that stuff. But it wouldn't hurt you to have a little bit saved up, a little bit prepared just in case. It wouldn't hurt you to know how to grow some stuff just in case. I'm not saying go out and purchase you 20 acres of land and raise you a 20-acre farm. And start. I'm not telling you to do that. But y'all know how to do something. Y'all know how to protect your family. Y'all have weapons to be able to protect yourself and your family. Because you never know what the Lord may let us go through before He calls us out of here. Because sometimes, like I said, there in the book of Exodus, before those children of Israel left, it had to get worse before it got better. And we're seeing it get a little bit worse. I don't know how much of it God's going to allow us to see before He calls us out of here. But I know we're just waiting for that call is all we're waiting for. But while we're waiting, it's going to get worse. It's not getting better. I don't know about y'all, but you know, when it's taking $40 to fill up a little Chevy Aveo, man, it's getting bad. It's going to cost you. Be prepared. I'm not asking. This boy was, because he had already spent everything, he's in poverty now. He says now he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And if you don't know much about Jewish culture, that is an abomination to them. To the Jewish culture. To have to do what this man did. That's why Jesus is giving this illustration of him having to go out into the fields and feed the swine. Go with us back over to Proverbs. I want a couple different verses to go with this one. Proverbs chapter 23 first. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 verses 20 and 21. He says, be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe the man with rags. So he's talking about here. He said, listen, somebody that be not among winebibbers, those that just like to drink uncontrollably. And he says, riotous eaters of flesh. There's that word riotous. Riotous, that means just an overindulgence. We've probably all done it. Gluttony is still a sin. I know that we don't much preach on it in our day and time. Gluttony is still a sin. And forgive me, I've not said it enough. Have you ever ate till you felt like you was going to throw up? That's gluttony. It really is. I've done it myself. You know, a lot of times you'll go to, especially Mexican restaurants, though it's great food, but you don't feel like taking nothing home because there's only that much left. So what do you try to do? You try to pack it in. Sometimes you'll go to a Japanese restaurant, you'll do the same thing. You'll get down and you're like, man, it's not enough to take home. So you'll try to pack it in real good. The Chinese, that's gluttony. Till you eat, till you're about to throw up. Now, if you have an allergy, you know, that's different, Lena. Well, I know you have an allergy. Just like you look confused. Like, wait a minute, I feel like this all the time. I want to let you know. That's not, if you have a food allergy, that's not the same thing. I just wanted to cover that for you. But if you eat to the excess, that's what that means. That's gluttony. That's riotous eating of flesh, to just continue to eat and eat and eat. And he says that it's going to bring, the drunkard and the glutton to come to poverty. That's what happened to this boy over here, right? Go with me now to chapter 13. I'm going to go back one, and then I'm going to go forward again to chapter 28. Go back to chapter 13. Proverbs 13, verse number 18. Proverbs 13 and 18. Says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. But he that regardeth reproof shall be honored.
There are finally some professional athletes that are finally listening to some instruction. My wife and I saw that we haven't really watched nothing the last few years. But years ago when we used to watch sports, there was a professional basketball or football player that his mom and grandma took all of his salary and put it into a savings account or like a retirement type thing. And he had to live on only his endorsements. That was it. Do you remember that? I don't remember who it was now, but I thought, man, he's got a smart mama or grandma that did that to him. Took all of his salary money and was putting it into a thing so that he couldn't touch it, and he only had to live on his endorsements. There are so many, I don't know if it's changed any, but I know that 10, 15 years ago, like I said, when we used to watch sports, I've quit watching, I've just stopped watching them. Now I hardly watch them. I'm sorry I didn't watch the Kansas game, brother. I know you're upset. You know, I didn't catch Kansas' greatest comeback in history. I'm sorry. But I've got turned off with them. But anyway, the average professional NBA player, I think it is, was broke 3 years after retirement. Or it's 3 years or 5 years. Football's the other one. One of them was 3 years and one of them was 5 years. The average NBA and NFL player is broke. One of them at 3 years and one of them at 5 years after they leave the league. I remember Warren Sapp. Warren Sapp made millions of dollars, played for Tampa Bay, was a great player. I remember watching him. He was broke. I think it took a little bit longer, but it took about 10 years. He was broke after he got out of the NFL. He made millions. He was one of the most popular players in the 90s. Warren Sapp was. He was broke. There's others the same way. Why? Because they're not receiving instruction on how to handle their finances. It's not to be mean. We just try to help. Listen, just because we've gone through these things doesn't mean. He said poverty and shame is to him that refuseth instruction. Go to chapter 28 real quick. I'm going to pick up some steam and go a little faster. Chapter 28, verse 22 says,
Anybody want something against the lottery? Here you go. Chapter 28, verse 22. He that hasteneth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. What have I told y'all about the lottery and poor below poverty? I just said it. They spend how much of their income on the lottery? 11% of below poverty level households. I mean, households below poverty level spend 11%. The average one spends 11% of their income on the lottery. He that hasteneth to be rich. Is that not exactly what the lottery is? Oh, we're going to win the lottery. We're going to be worth millions. I don't tell you about the curse of the lottery. He that hasteneth to be rich hath an evil eye. Go to chapter 30. Chapter 30, verse 8 and 9. I like this verse because this will help you. I'm not against rich people. I know that some people can handle it. But chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Lest I be full and deny thee, or say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be rich. I just want to get through this life. I want to give to missions. I want to give to a church and help a church succeed and reach people for the cause of Christ. I'm not looking for wealth in this land. I'm not looking for fame. I know that Daniel Lineberry is never going to be known. There's a 99% chance Daniel Lineberry is never going to be a household name. He's never going to be known across this country. You know, I say 99% because every once in a while you'll have a D.L. Moody. Every once in a while you'll have a Charles Spurgeon from years ago. I don't want to be one of these. I don't mean today's known names in that sense, because you've got too many. When you think of them now, you got Jimmy Jones. You got, oh man, what was that one with Tammy Baker? I done forgot now. I remember her name, and I hit the guy that was with her. That they did the same thing. I don't want to be those kind of things. I'm happy right here in the middle of Kansas, La Crosse, Kansas, preaching the gospel. I'm happy that y'all know my name. I'm happy that a good chunk of La Crosse knows my name. I'm happy that when I go over there to Lindsborg at the end of this month, that a lot of those men and women know who I am. And that's good enough for me, because they're part of the family of God. And that's the family that I want to be associated with. I don't have to be rich. I don't have to be famous. I'm happy knowing God's people as my family and my friends. He came to poverty. I've got to hurry up now. Number four now. He came to penance. He said, I will rise and go to my father's house and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. Hey, that's what we need to do. Penance is another word for repentance. Pain, sorrow, grief of heart for sins or offenses. Hey, that's the way we should be. If you get sin in your life, you should be sorry for it. If pride gets in your life, if profusion gets in your life, it'll bring you to poverty. Hey, you should get to a place of penance, a place, that's what this altar's for, a place to go before God and say, God, I've messed up. I didn't make right. Go to Proverbs chapter 15 real quick. Proverbs 15, verse number 33. Proverbs 15, verse 33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. I don't want the world's honor. Now, don't get me wrong. I am thankful. There's some of it that's good. You know, I'm glad that part of this country tries to honor the men and women that have served in the military, that kind of honor. But the Bible says, woe unto you when all men speak well of thee. That even applies to our military. There's men and women that have fought in this country, killed people, and had to be these snipers and all kinds of things, that half this country still speaks ill of them.
But there's some people that people just don't, that nobody, we can't talk ill about the dead. Or we, you know, you shouldn't talk bad about that person. When Barack Obama came on the stage, nobody was allowed to talk evil of that man and talk about what he really was. I know that upsets some people, and I don't really care. That man is wicked to the core. He's going to split hell wide open. He does not love this country. He did everything he could to destroy this country while he was in office that he could get by with. And the media covered for him. I don't want that kind of thing. The Bible says humility comes before honor. You want to be used to God? You want to be used for God here to reach? Just reach the cross. Humble yourself down on this altar. I said before, and I mean, I'm honest, just like Paul said, I believe Paul was honest when he said he was willing to be accursed from Christ for his brother's sake. He's willing to die and go to hell if it meant the Jews got saved. Me and my wife, we were happy and content just serving God in our local church and in the nursing homes, preaching in the nursing homes. I was happy. I loved it. I still love it. That's why I got like going here on Sundays. I love it. If that's all God wanted me to do, then so be it. I'd have done it for the glory of God. But the way to get up in the Christian ministry is to get down. You want to be used to God? You want to reach more people? Humble yourself before God. You want honor among men? Humble yourself before God.
I don't know why that men call me up like Brother Coon and let me come down there and preach, and Brother Shepherd lets me come down there and preach, and other men, but I am thankful for them. But that's what this man did. He, in penance, he finally humbled himself before God. And he said, I've sinned before my Father. And he said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. That's the way you and I should be. Number five, we see the pardon. The father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Hey, if you'll come to God, if you'll come to God with a repentant heart, if you'll come to God believing him, hey, and truly say, God, I have sinned in your sight and I'm sorry, God will pardon you. There's a many songs that we talk about that got the word pardon in them. They clean your slate. Justified, just if I had never sinned before him. That's what it means. The Father said, "You son, don't you worry about it." See, that's what we're the ones that go, you know, we'll sin, we'll mess up, we'll go before God, we'll just keep kicking the can down the road. Lord, I can't believe I did this. God says, if you'll just come to him, if you're saved, if you'll come to him, humble yourself on the altar, he'll forgive you. You got to learn to forgive yourself. If you're lost and you're not saved this morning and you're on the road to hell, if you'll come to this altar this morning and say, God, I have sinned before you, and I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior, he'll save you just like that. Just like that. That boy didn't even get a chance to say. The Father already knew what was in his heart. Does God know what's in your heart this morning? He does. Is it good or bad towards him and toward others? Are you pardoned? Go with me. Last of all, Isaiah 55. I'm going to finish with these verses. Isaiah chapter 55. Verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud, it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I had sent it. God gave me this message. God spoke to my heart to preach this message for somebody this morning. Maybe you're that prodigal son. You're the one that's been out living wrong. Maybe you're somebody that's saved and just need to get right with God. Here's the altar. It's not me. It's God you need to get right with. If you're here this morning, you're not saved this morning. And you need to be that prodigal son that needs to come home and make things fully right with God and trust fully in the Savior of Jesus Christ. Here's the altar. There's no confessional here because we don't believe in that. We believe in an altar that you confess to God, not to man. Now, if you got all in your heart against me and you want to ask for forgiveness, then you're more than welcome. And I'll give it. But if you got pride this morning lifted up for some reason, the altar's right here. If you got sin in your life, you've never been saved, the altar's right here. Let's all stand this morning. Are you that prodigal child that needs to come home to the Lord? Now's the time. My Heavenly Father, Lord, may we do business on this altar this morning. And Lord, if there's sin in the camp, may it be dealt with this morning. And Lord, if there's one lost among us, may they come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. I pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.